All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as football season well underway. The Hoosiers 2-0, and the Colts are 0-1. We've got both games of the weekend to delve a little bit deeper into, and then look forward to this weekend. The Hoosiers have the week off, as they have their bye week early in the season, maybe a little earlier than most people would like, but here it is. Do with it what you may and what you will. The Colts, on the other hand, they have to go out to Denver. We will have that game for you here on Sunday, and we'll have more programming notes for you here in just a little while. But looking back at IU's victory over Ball State and coupling that with Florida International, the Hoosiers 2-0, and the big questions coming into the season, how would the quarterback do, and would the defense be improved? And so far, so good on both accounts. And before we look at the defense, quarterback Richard Lego has certainly not had all kind of cylinders opened up just yet by the coaching staff, Kevin Wilson and Kevin Johns calling the plays, but he has been efficient. He has been careful with the ball. I think the key stat right now, when you look at this, and you're going to see this on the defensive side, why this has made a difference for the Hoosiers, the key stat right now is zero interceptions. That's the biggest one of all. He's not seeing Big Ten defenses yet, but he's not putting this team in bad positions. He's been careful with the ball. He's been smart with the ball. They've been careful with their play calling to a degree. But mostly this offense, while, again, I think it can certainly get better, Glass, the biggest key here is it's not hurting themselves, and they don't have all the training wheels on this offense for this kid.
No.
It's so far so good for Richard Lego.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And the other thing that stands out as well is it's moving around with pretty vanilla stuff. You're not seeing a lot of pages in the 60s and 70s in the playbook. It's lineup. We're going to establish the run, and we're going to throw bubble screens until you come up and stop us. And when you do, maybe we'll hit you on some crossing routes. Maybe we'll take a couple deep shots here and there down the field. But watching that game again, you got the deep ball to Westbrook. You got one deep ball to Page. That's it. At least off the top of my head, what I remember, they're not taking shots down the field because they don't have to.
And they're higher risk also.
They are. But the one throw I did like that he made was away from Page, that it wasn't there, or maybe he led him too far. The inaccuracy was fine because it was properly inaccurate. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he put it at the right spot.
He did, because only Page was going to get to it. If not, the defender was on the other side of him, and he wasn't going to get it. He didn't oops, and Page had to turn around and try to find it. It wasn't the tightest thrown spiral, but what happened was it wasn't a turnover. And Richard Lego hasn't forced his defense to make up for it. He has not put them in bad spots. He is not, he is not making risky plays with his feet. He is not changing, it looks like, any plays at the line of scrimmage where he comes off and Wilson's right in his face that we've seen over the years with other quarterbacks. So steady as it goes. And for a kid that's kind of bounced around, Connecticut, Oklahoma State, junior college, Indiana, he's learned something over those three stops to say, hey, I just needs to come to me. If I be patient, why'd I come to Indiana? I came to Indiana because the system works. Let me be smart enough to be a part of that system, and good things should happen, because as you've seen, it's a steady diet of really bland vanilla offense that simply has been working and putting points up. The deep ball to Westbrook, good enough. What a fantastic catch that was by Westbrook, absolutely. By the way. But again, it's in a spot only Westbrook can catch it, so that's a positive thing. You're not seeing him jump over three guys to make a catch. You're not seeing guys having to play defensive back and break up plays down the field, across the middle, wherever it is, and it's been steady. And I think there's something boring about that, but it's efficiently boring. And you look at his numbers, they're solid. It's 250-some yards a game through two games. It's no picks. It's 17, 18 completions, whatever that number is. It's not important because he hasn't been asked to win the football games. He hasn't been given a chunk of the playbook to make him either mentally, physically, or otherwise uncomfortable. He's getting into a rhythm. He's getting into a flow. And Indiana's playing pretty well all around him in most facets of the game. And you want to add one more layer to it offensively. Well, he never had Simi Cobbs to play in two of those games. That's he had him for one play on Saturday before Simi sadly hurt his ankle. Looks like he's going to be out for some time, according to Coach Wilson after the game. And then he has to play 2.9 quarters without Dan Feeney, his Rock leader offensive All-American right. guard. So it hasn't been the perfect start. It hasn't been all the pieces to the puzzle. And all he's done is his job and not put Indiana in bad spots. I love it.
Well, exactly. It gets underrated a lot of times, just how important it is to not turn the ball over if you can avoid it. I mean, I know people like to see the ball all over the field, especially in the passing game. But the bottom line is you got to not hurt yourself first and foremost. I heard a comment by, I think it was Al Luganville maybe, or Tom Luganville, whoever's on TV at this point in time. He said, 85% of the games out there are lost, not won.
That could be fair.
And,
that's,
you know, right. he's coming from a coaching and a statistic standpoint, and that's part of it. It all comes down to, you know, making mistakes or not making mistakes and putting yourself in the right spot. And like you said, I mean, they're not getting crazy with the offense. They're not taking the shots that they took under Nate Sudfeld. They're being more conservative. That's helping the defense. That's helping the offense. I mean, it's helping the whole team in general.
And the other thing, it helps you winning. Then you don't have to sit here and say, well, geez, you got to throw the ball down the field. Geez, mm-hmm. you can't be conservative doing this, that, or the other thing. Well, when it's working, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Indiana fans, I think it's good they want more and they want to kill the game off at 30-0. But you got to remember one thing. When you're up 30-0 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, what do you want to do? Do you want to open your playbook up so people can scout you, so they can have film on you, so he can make throws he's not used to throwing?
That's not the time to start chucking it and
being
risky about
it. It's a time to hand the ball off and let that line pound Ball State into submission. Mm-hmm. And again, Ball State made some very silly decisions in that game we'll get to anyhow. But there was never the threat of that game getting out of hand, no matter what the scoreboard said, in my opinion. And I think you just take your medicine, you hand it off. It's not exciting. But you know what's exciting? Winning six games and going to a bowl. Now you are one-third of the way that with your first two wins, which you had to have, because we've gone through the schedule and asked where you're going to pick up those extra wins.
Get these two, maybe three.
I think you have to have three, but whatever I think doesn't matter. The result is they've done it twice, and they haven't had to have a call go their way. They haven't had to have the football gods weigh in on any of it. They have handled their business when they've had to handle it.
Hasn't come down to the last play.
And you know what? Here's what I liked about this game, and you know me, I kind of think of things differently than maybe stuff you read or hear at different things. I'm happy Indiana didn't win 56-0 because they have their attention going into the bye week with giving up 17 fourth quarter points. They had special teams problems.
Yes.
They had offensive penalty problems that weren't very good again. They had defensive penalty problems. They had some great plays made by young players. They had some bad penalties made by young players as well. So you take all that. If you win the game 49-3, maybe we start.
And it was easy.
Then you start, we're spacing out. We start daydreaming. In about 3-0, halfway to a bowl.
Let's not forget they're going to play Wake in a week and a half here. This is a team that just walked into Duke,
and you're gonna,
which we know a little bit about.
Yes, and on a bye week, you have tendency to have more time off to hear about how great you are and how great your start is. But that wasn't the performance where you say, whoa, this could be something.
Right.
It was really solid to the 10-minute mark in the third quarter, and then things kind of thread by thread, kind of not fall apart. I don't think that's fair
to
them.
No, that's
unfair. Ball State did some different things, did some bad things, got a couple breaks, and away you go. But winning that game is winning that game is winning that game. We talk about how they won their first two games last year and point out the circumstances. No one cares when you go to a bowl game. It's the same this year. A convincing road win at Florida International and a convincing home win against Ball State doesn't matter if you're 4-8 at the end of the – it doesn't matter.
Right.
You have to – We talked about this last year, and I mentioned it with Terry on Monday. If your highlight part of the season is starting 2-0, your season's not very good.
Well, it has to
be part of the highlight package.
You've got to.
But it can't be the, hey, Lego has no turnovers, he's playing solid. That can't be Richard Lego's high point of the season moving forward. No,
but
they have to build on it and get better.
There's got to be a start. 812-333-2665 is the phone number.
Exactly would want.
You mentioned two things in particular, and that is missing two awfully important players.
Huge pieces.
Simi Cobbs, let's be fair here. I think the one spot where you could find you could deal with some attrition and bring in some playmakers, because you've got a lot of young kids at this position, and certainly right behind Simi Cobbs is Nick Westbrook, who's lit the world on fire
right
all of a sudden
him,
around here. That's a spot where it's okay a bit to lose a guy like Simi Cobbs. You never want to lose a guy that's that talented and did that much for you, and now he's on Biletnikoff watch lists and stuff like that to start the season, and he might be gone for the season now, unfortunately. But if there was a spot you could afford it, that might have been the spot, and you're seeing Nick Westbrook has stepped up so far. But on the offensive line, even with a lot of veterans back and even with some guys that have played a lot of football, you can make the argument right now that Dan Feeney will go down as the best offensive lineman that's been at Indiana University. There have not been that many over the last 4 or 5 decades that have been drafted into the NFL, and this guy's looking at as a guard being a first-round draft pick potentially. There haven't been that many.
Ian Beckles,
yeah,
Spriggs,
there aren't a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Allen, I mean, back in 83 or whatever, there just aren't many of them. Now, there's been some good ones, but he could still go down as the best or a top five in history, and to lose him early in that game, what, second quarter I think he went out?
He was done very early in the second quarter.
And I get it's Ball State, but you are talking about your rock and the guy that has made a difference for 3 or 4 years in a row now. To lose that and still be able to run the ball, control the clock the way they did, that's a big step. How long is he out? We don't know yet. It's a
Ball
concussion
State had
situation.
160 yards with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. That's what the defense put up with. And the other thing is Indiana is past the point, positively speaking, in their program, we're losing Simi Cobbs and Dan Feeney in the same game
just
doesn't ruin
exactly
it. And we have seen before where you've had some big players that have
Now, quarterback loss might be a different situation. But
again, that's a different
– yeah.
Anybody that's playing their third-string, second-string quarterback that is not named JT Barrett.
Exactly right.
Or Colt McCoy's brother or whoever that was a couple of years ago. Again,
no,
when you
many.
Can pick out those two examples
– right.
The point is, they're not crushing injuries per se for the outlook of the season. They are very inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to have the full complement, especially with receiving core with a brand new quarterback. Because Simi Cobbs ran with the ones since Lego's been here.
He'd be most of your deep
and
balls.
He's the guy that's going to go up and get you one in traffic.
That's
but
right.
Nick Westbrook, again, good start. Not perfect. Dan Feeney, hopefully that concussion protocol, again, he's got plenty of time to get back with that.
Yeah.
You don't play Dan Feeney against Wake Forest because you have a Big Ten season to go, if it's even
not
close.
Not a question.
Not even close, because I think, was it Bailey who filled in for him, 70?
Yeah.
I thought he did a very solid job.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. I don't compare him to Dan Feeney because
he's not. None of them are as good as
why would you?
Exactly.
But the good news is you're going to have injuries on the offensive line. Feeney's, you hope, is a one-week-and-done deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a guy with an ankle, a guy with a knee, a
right.
guy with a shoulder, and Bailey's first guy in, well, he just got 70 reps
mm-hmm.
on Saturday
yeah.
in game situation.
And he's had a lot before that, too.
That you can't
yep,
practice with. If
mm-hmm.
he's playing 20% of the snaps, 30% of the snaps in practice, again, that's just another piece of the cog, and the wheel stays together. And that's the best news for Indiana. You get a guy more reps than necessary. And then, again, if you got to rotate guys out, you got guys you can put in there. That's the interesting part of all of that. And you might have to move some guys around. Coy Cronk had a tough day at left tackle for a little bit.
It's going to happen.
It is. And guys get nicked up, banged up, especially now, Dave, especially with 10 weeks in a row starting next week
that's
of football.
Exactly right.
There
and,
is no bye week.
And all BCS level conferences,
opponents, yep.
Opponents from this point forward. We got to take a quick break. 2-0 Hoosiers. Their defense has been improved, and we'll talk about that when we get back. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note for you, and we'll tell you about all the football coming up this weekend in a little while, but we'll get this one out of the way right now, right after the show. Reds baseball, home to Milwaukee, 7 o'clock. Get that going. And again, we got all kinds of football coming up, so we'll tell you about that in a little while here, so stay tuned for that. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. IU football 2-0 win at Florida International and home to Ball State, 30-20, so it wasn't a little closer than everybody had hoped, but it was a 30-0 lead, as Glass mentioned, with about 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
Yep.
I wouldn't entirely call it dominant up till that point in the
30
game.
30-3 after three quarters is pretty strong.
Yeah, it's very strong.
That's strong.
Don't get me wrong. You watch the game, you see the play. What came into play and was huge once again, and we saw this early last year, was turnovers. And the defense caused the turnovers. You saw it. It was hits. It was hits on the ball in particular.
Those were taken away.
It was a takeaway down in deep in Ball State territory.
Yes.
It was a takeaway deep in your own
Marcus
territory.
Marcus Oliver.
That's points for you. That's points that you saved against you. So those are big, important, caused by the defense turnovers. Again, I go back to the first interception against Florida National. Guy made a wrong route. Guy made a misread, threw it right to the defense.
Our
back.
Guy still had to catch it. He did.
Little different. But the point here is that the defense caused these turnovers
and
in big spots early in the game.
And the third one was made on a great individual play by a 17-year-old kid playing center field, which was a diving catch. Again, that didn't bounce up in the air when two guys ran into each other and he landed in his arm.
Dumb throw by the quarterback.
He tried to throw it. You know what he tried to do? He tried to throw it away.
Dumb throw by the quarterback. It was not a good decision.
And ball went and got it.
But a real nice play by the kid, no question.
And just stretching that three quarters, offensive series, number one, play number three. Boom. Oliver knocks it out.
Yep.
And Crawford does a great job, recovered two fumbles, Crawford, keeping the ball and getting down in bounds. They reviewed it, looked at it, he was in. That's a tough play to make. You're running full speed. You've got to A, secure it, and B, make sure you hit in bounds. Again, that's a play made. That ball could easily bounce on the line, out of bounds, or Crawford could juggle it a little bit like the Ball State guy did and be out of bounds. They made plays. That's the that's the focus of where I'm going with this. Second time, second fumble in the red zone. 10-0 Ball State scores there. You got a 10-7 game. Who knows where the momentum goes? Who knows how Richard Lego reacts? Who knows how the play calling reacts? What does Tigray Scales do? Punches the ball out. What does Jonathan Crawford do? Everybody else is standing around. First guy takes 3-yard running dive. Boom, right on the ball. He's aware. He's a sophomore. He's made two aware plays in the first three drives. So for me, that's a kid sometimes was a little lost in space last year. He was a true freshman. That's a big ask for him. But he looks like he's dialed in. He looks and he's focused. And then the last drive of the third quarter or whatever late in the third quarter, the second time, Ball State goes in Indiana's red zone. They bend up, hold them to a field goal. So two red zone trips, one turnover, 3 points. Mm-hmm. That's legitimate any way you cut it. You might not be happy of how they got to the red zone in the third quarter. I can argue with that. That's completely fine. But when it came down to quote-unquote scoring time, Indiana forced a fumble at 10-0, which was huge.
At
30-0, it's not, but it could have been easy just to say, you know what, we're up 30-0, who cares? They still bent it, and they're playing situational football, and they kept him out of the end zone. So those are encouraging signs right there. Is Ball State good? We can talk about that in a minute. I think the answer is no. But Indiana in the past has played bad teams and not played very well.
Well, I wanted to point that out because these are not great offenses
played
so far.
We've played a lot of bad offenses before and gave up a lot of points before.
At this stage, the Indiana defense has collected 5 takeaways. At this stage last year, they have collected
6.
Six takeaways
this
last year.
6 this year.
It's a 6 this year. I'm sorry, flip that.
3-3.
It's 6 games this year. It's 5 last year. So through two games against, I'll call it similar competition, Southern Illinois and Florida International. The difference, though, is you're talking about much better scoreboards in particular, because if you think back to the first two games of last year, 48-47 victory at home against Southern Illinois that you needed to knock down a 2-point conversion in the last 10 seconds.
With a senior quarterback.
36-22 final against Florida National at home where you needed a 96-yard interception return from inside, obviously your own 5-yard line, to go the other direction to provide the 14-point margin of victory, as opposed to maybe not winning it at all if they go in and score there, who knows. Point being, they're not giving up the points the way they were last year. They're still collecting the turnovers this year. So is the defense better? I don't think there's any question the defense is better. Southern Illinois team last year was a 3-9 1AA team. That was not a great team that they played in Southern Illinois. Florida National might have been a more solid team than they are this year right now. But, you know, again, they have not – it's not just that they are playing lesser competition because they don't believe that so far. So the defense has been improved. It is making solid plays. It is maybe not making lots of spectacular plays.
Who cares?
But it's making solid plays.
You know what?
And that is the whole key right now. Defensively, they're holding teams on third down. They're getting off the field.
Why they do nothing on third down. So that's a good, a good combination.
The big question was, is the defense going to be better? And through two games, you can have a lot of what-ifs and hype, you know, and kind of hang on and say, we got to watch them against
that's
better
why
competition.
I brought out,
but there's no question it's better right now.
2:34 in the third quarter, Ball State had 86 yards running and 80 yards passing.
Yeah.
That's what they had. Mm-hmm. So you would see 13 points, right? That was Florida International. 13 points.
Correct.
13 points.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Ball State, 13 points. I'm not giving the defense any – I'm not – block punts, not
block
defense
punt.
Problem.
Correct.
13 points. The play during the game when Westbrook scored, that reminded me of how Indiana's defense was last year. Where you throw a 1-yard pass, a guy catches it, makes one guy miss,
and
where is everybody else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indiana's making tackles. Indiana is being bothersome in the backfield, maybe not making all the plays tackles for loss.
Right.
They're getting in the way. They're being obstructive and letting things happen. They are making plays down the field on – and this is what people don't get. Guy runs a crossing route, pass hits him, guy catches it, Indiana makes tackle.
Yeah.
Not slips a tackle and goes 28 yards up.
Yards.
Right, exactly. And the safety from the other side of the field has got to come across and chase him down. The big plays limited. Have shrunk.
Yep, you limit it.
They've shrunken down. They had one big play down when Ball got caught looking in the backfield down to the one-yard line. That's when they held in the third quarter mm-hmm. for the field goal. So, again, you have young guys. Ball had a big pass interference on the other side. Going down later in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So, again, they're picking on a 17-year-old kid. That's fine. But what you do is he's getting beat for a 15-yard pass interference penalty, not a 70-yard touchdown.
Exactly.
He's getting beat over the top, but he's athletic enough to still make a tackle, not let the guy score. Guess what happens? The defense holds and get a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a better there. Terry and I talked about this a little bit on Monday. We look better. We are better athletes. We are better organized.
Absolutely.
There is something about it. It is not the best defensive line. It's not the best. It's not the best safety backfield. It's not the best corners. It's not the best anything.
Right.
But collectively, they're a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in the way of teams that ran up 48 points on them last year.
Yes.
That ran up however many
36 for Florida.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that is different.
Yes.
And that's the good news. And what I like about this game was, and you hit it. Oliver and Scales made plays. They took the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. The cornerbacks caught the balls that were thrown exactly right to them, Scales and, mm-hmm. and Fant the first game. But you saw guys making plays. You saw no big plays for the most part being given up against him. And that's tangible evidence. You might not get caught up in the yards. Again, Ball State had a ton of yards late. Super.
Yeah.
Get all the yards you want for 3 points.
Whatever.
Knock
exactly.
yourself out. Doesn't matter. But when Indiana is – they pass the look test. And I don't watch enough film like the coaches to know. I know there's better things that need to be done. I know there's this and that and everything else that needs to be done. But right now, sitting at 2-0 and giving up 26 points defensively,
mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody, A, would have said that was going to happen.
Nope.
And, B, there's nobody can say that's not good enough.
No.
That's not true.
You look down the road, and there's a couple things you have to consider and be concerned about but not freak out about it. One is they're not generating a lot of pass rush from the front four. I don't think that's going to happen
blitz,
all year long.
How about that blitz from Alshon Riggins?
Again,
my gosh.
They have thrown
that's
some,
a play
they have thrown some unusual – not unusual, but they've thrown some blitz looks.
Blitz.
They have not held back in that regard. They don't do it a lot,
no.
But they have not held back some looks. But they're not generating it out of their front four. Down the line, that's going to be a bit of an issue. They're going to have to blitz more if they want to get pressure. That's for another day. The other thing is, so far, cross your fingers, you really haven't had injuries. Now, you missed Dutra and you missed Green in that first game because of another reason, but you haven't had injuries at this point in time. Can they stay healthy? Trust me, the last few years of watching this defense be beat to hell, and playing a bunch of true freshmen in that backfield last year, that had everything to do with how bad they were in a lot of respects last
year. But when we talk about –
it'd be nice to stay this healthy all year long. Let's hope we do.
You talk about depth. T.J. Simmons didn't play a snap in that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Done.
You got two of them. Clyde Newton, another senior linebacker.
Good player. Running back.
Yeah, who knows?
If necessary on any of that. So you've got guys that can help. You've got guys. Again, if they're collectively a nuisance, that's fine. I don't think you mm-hmm. need to have a standout player on that defensive line. I think you need three or four or five guys doing their jobs on the defensive line.
You got to start with solid. You got to start with disciplined.
There.
You got to start with limiting big plays.
Start right there.
It doesn't matter what scheme you run. It doesn't matter how many blitz packages you throw at people and how smart you sound in press conferences. None of that matters. The guys have to go out there, be smart, be disciplined, and limit big plays, limit the damage. And right now, they are doing that very, very well.
Yep, 13 points. That is a fact, Jack. And when you don't give up a lot of points, your brand-new quarterback from junior college isn't forced to make a ton of plays.
And he's not putting you in bad spots either.
And you don't have to open up the playbook and to get out of some problems that you might have caused by shooting yourselves in the foot.
And again, I'll stress it. They're being more conservative on offense right now. They can because their running game is their big thing.
Yep.
They're not taking as many chances as they have in past years. That helps your
Five
defense
straight
also.
100-yard gains for Devine Redding.
And that's why you're talking about the team looking good this year as opposed to squeaking past a couple opponents
right.
like we did last year. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We mentioned programming note tonight. We got Reds baseball right after the show, but we got football all weekend long. And of course, it's a college town, so Thursday counts as the weekend.
That's right.
Tomorrow night, Jets at Buffalo. 8 o'clock is the broadcast here on WGCL. Friday night, we got high school football. Joe Smith and I will head out to Terre Haute to face the Terre Haute North Patriots. The North Cougars making the trip out there. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff is 7:30, a little later than our local games can be. But North versus North. Saturday, we've got a pair of college football games, and they're both really good ones. At least they look at this way on the paper. Alabama is at Ole Miss at 3 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, Ohio State goes to Oklahoma. Love when they play these big games early
six,
in the season.
Six games match top 25 opponents against each other this week, and you've got two of them here on the airwaves.
Last week wasn't a great-looking schedule. You got some interesting results, but not a great-looking schedule. This week is a little bit better. And then on Sunday, we've got NFL football. Colts at Denver, 3:30 is the pregame there with Bob Lamy. Kickoff, 4:30. And then the evening game, Green Bay at Minnesota, big rivalry up north.
U.S. Bank Stadium opens up for the first time for a regular season game. Hoosier fans, remember, 3:30 Wake Forest a week from Saturday. October 22nd will be Hoosier Hysteria. And Indiana-Louisville on New Year's Eve is a 12:30 afternoon tip-off. That was the big news from earlier in the week, in case you missed it. Before we get off Indiana, make sure you're covered up on all of that.
And we should note that it is that time of year for us. We will be extending the show another 45 minutes starting next Monday night, as Monday Night Football starts at 7:45 here on WGCL. So we will have you here in the zone and in the red zone from 6 o'clock to 7:45. So a nice extended
show. Plenty of time to hit all.
Through the football season.
All the baseball exactly coming right. up, all everything. So we've got plenty of time every Monday night and your phone calls as well.
Colts 0-1 now on the season, losing at home to the Detroit Lions, 39-35. The offense, not a problem.
There
wasn't great running the ball, but Andrew Luck managed to stay upright most of the game, sacked twice, but not under constant pressure all day long. Again, not running the ball phenomenally, but no interceptions, no turnovers.
They had no offense for the first quarter and three quarters.
That didn't help.
That was the problem. Digging a 21-3 hole. What was their field goal? 50-yarder? I mean, it's not like they were down there knocking and, and Detroit's defense bent on them.
They did put up 35 points.
They did.
Your problem is you're not going to win often in the NFL when you give up 39.
No, you don't. That's the Colts' most ever points on opening weekend without winning a football game. So there you go. Andrew Luck becomes the first player in the history of the NFL. This was told to me by somebody, but I'm going with it. First player ever in the history of the NFL to throw four touchdowns, no interceptions, and lose a football game.
Wow.
How about that game? How many turnovers on each side?
Zero.
Zero.
It was up and down the field.
And the only goofy play of the game cost the Colts the football game. I'm going to tell you how. The kid makes the extra point. Colts go down and score. They kick the extra point. You kick off with 36 seconds left. They take a knee. You go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It took a missed extra point to scramble that game as it was. Some things that jumped off the page, re the Colts offense. In the first half, Dave, I watched the game right before I came in, so it's kind of fresh in my head. Mm. There were third downs. The Colts aren't throwing past the sticks.
No.
Multiple drives.
Very conservative.
And the other part was, how about Chuck Pagano going for two with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter? That tells you everything he thought about his offense that day.
Yeah.
You never go for two in the third quarter. No. Never, unless you're down eight touchdowns or whatever it is.
No.
You never do
all
that.
All the sabermetricians or whatever you call them get crazy about two-point stuff, but I'm with you on
you
that.
You don't do 8:36 to go in the third. You don't go for two because it's five, not four, and if you get a touchdown the next time and a field goal, you can go through all the math.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense. So he wasn't confident in what they were doing. The Colts offense works well when they hurry up. You saw the last drive of the half. They get the ball back with a minute 47. Now, they're playing prevent. Great.
They're not ready to line up and pound people.
They're not.
They're still not up front.
And Frank Gore's not ready to carry it 20 times and get 110 yards.
Yeah.
You have all these players and systems and everything else. It feels like it's being pulled four different ways. Nothing's working until you get the ball back at the minute 47. You say, release the hounds.
Let's go.
Let him go. And then you let him go in the second half. And you start, oh, look, deep crossing routes. Oh, look, balls in space to guys who can make plays. Those are things that have to be done, not when you're down by 18 or 11 points. Mm-hmm. Those are things that have to be incorporated early in the game, because we've seen this team start slow time and time again.
Right.
And then we see the great stat that rolls across the bottom. Andrew Luck, 14 fourth quarter OT comebacks, victories in his time. That's great. the argument I've made from day one with this Colts team, at least the last few years, is their offense is their defense. If they get out up,
seems to be that way.
If they get up 21-3, that seems to be the way it's most comfortable.
Right.
It's great they can chase these down. Detroit's a very average team. Let's not get carried away with Detroit.
Right.
It's great the Colts offense found something to come back. It stinks it took them, you know, let's see, 15 minutes in the fourth quarter, 13 minutes and 28 seconds of the second quarter before they found rhythm. At home, on the road, I can believe that a little bit. It's raining in Buffalo last year. You got a big-time defense. I can kind of get that. But at home, your home field, they had nothing going on. They had no juice in the building because they didn't give anybody anything to cheer for. They couldn't stop Amir Abdullah, 7 yards a carry in the first half?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. And then the other back, Theo Riddick, who's this guy?
Look, what you're seeing, and you've seen it through the preseason, you saw it last year, what you're seeing is coming home to roost the mistakes you've made on free agency and some draft picks, because the offensive line is still a question mark right now. And the defense, you know, there's two things going on with the defense right now. First of all, you've got some old players in some spots.
That stink.
You also have a lot of injuries. I'm counting right now, there are 11 people listed as limited practice or did not practice today on the defensive side.
Well,
he's on that list. So, I mean, first of all, you're old at certain spots on the defense.
Robert Mathis.
Cole Mathis, they're both listed on here. Kendall Langford, these are older guys that are being talked about. Then you're talking about your defensive backs are all beat to hell. The only spot that's actually healthy right now is your middle linebackers.
And you
subbed the two middle guys out on every pass situation. So, I mean, you're playing a whole nother set of those guys.
Except the final touchdown when C.O. Moore and Morris and ran into each other and let the back go into the end zone. So, I mean, those are big plays you got to make at 28 all.
Look, Matthew Stafford is a nice quarterback.
He is.
He's going to find the right guy. He's a tough guy back in the pocket. He is.
2 second-half incompletions.
Yeah.
Two.
You're not making it hard on him. He's 31 of 39. You're making it really easy on the
guy.
He
had three incompletions.
You still have no pass rush without
three incompletions in 1 second-half drive and 8 for the game.
And it's unfortunate in your defensive backs. You're missing a Pro Bowler in Vontae Davis. Darius Butler's coming back, but he's a nice player back there. You're missing Clayton Gathers, T.J. Green guy. You've got a lot of issues on the back end, but you're also not getting anything done up front. The defense, it's one game, but I think it's plenty fine because we've seen this out of the defense.
Here's what encapsulates the Colts defense. Cromartie's got a ball. He's got the route. The receiver's behind him.
Yeah.
The ball's in his hands, bounces off his helmet, goes out of bounds. Would have been a touchback.
Mm-hmm.
Drive's dead. Doesn't even matter what happened on the drive. The point is he didn't make a play. Point is he's a five-time All-Pro or Pro Bowler, doesn't make a play. But the play that summed up the game for me was 3rd and 8, Stafford gets away, here comes Mathis for the strip sack, boom,
just
game's over, and guess what happens?
Yeah.
35-year-old guy just missed him.
Just missed him.
And guess what happens?
Yeah.
First down,
big
guy
play.
Catches it, gets up off his knee, goes 6 more yards,
yep.
Gets more. And again, when you trust old guys who haven't played any football, and that's your answer to stopping a guy that's as good as Matthew Stafford, it's a game of inches. And the old guy never gets it.
Lost by an inch.
Cromartie, how much work did he get in the preseason?
Can't
make the play.
Yeah,
now, the guy swiped his hand in front of him. Cromartie's an all-pro. He's been an all-pro.
Look,
catch the ball.
Cromartie's your fourth or fifth cornerback coming into the
season.
In
a situation to make
a
play.
Tough situation.
He didn't.
Yes.
Veteran guy didn't make a play.
Up front, they don't have any answers to the pass rush. That's a systemic problem.
It is.
That's an issue of not getting it solved before now.
But that sums up the Colts defense.
With Cromartie, you're unlucky a bit. Just simply because he's your fourth or fifth guy, you don't expect, you wouldn't never expect it in need of this guy to begin with.
But Robert Mathis.
Robert Mathis and Trent Cole are guys that you plan the season around. And you
Trent
don't have
Cole
guys
jumped.
Behind them that you go, those are guys that are going to take over now. You
Trent,
don't.
Trent
They're
Cole,
inactive.
Trent Cole jumps on top of Eric Walden and claims a sack. That's what Trent Cole does.
Yes.
That's what he does. Walden had a nice game. Seal Moore had a lot of tackles, folks. I don't know if he was. He got some big grades from some guys that watch football maybe a little bit differently.
Look,
than
he got
I do.
Tackles.
Well, somebody had to make them.
I'll walk out of there saying CM Moore dominated the game, but it's defense.
You saw
defense
guys
has to make tackles.
Get killed on crossing routes. You saw DeQuell Jackson get exposed in coverage.
Well, that's why they replaced both these guys.
Yeah,
if you looked, if it was a passing situation, they put in Morrison and McNary. They did.
There's two things that happened. Give me the rushing numbers for Detroit. While you're doing that, Matthew Stafford went 31 of 39 or 31 of 38 for everything and however many touchdowns.
24 rushes, 116 yards, 4.8 a carry.
Terrible.
That's not good.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's
that's
good.
Awful. That's why you lose games in the NFL. So the guys that we you think you have okay here and you have okay there, would it be great to have Henry Anderson back? Yes. Would it be great to have Kendall Langford back? Yes. Would it be great to have Butler, Davis, TJ Green, Gethers. Yeah. Should I just keep going?
Sure.
Guy.
Sure.
Who am I leaving out?
I think you got them all.
Well, that's six or five. Yes. So you can say they stink. It would bother me more if they lost this game at full strength. I'm
sure.
Bothered because of the result, because you think with 37 seconds left, that should be enough time. Mm-hmm. But when you can't cover guys on crossing routes and you miss the first tackle,
right.
Well, and they've got three timeouts left, it's not hard to do. The Colts, in the situation we thought they would benefit from, mm-hmm. being up with 37 seconds, pin your ears back, go get them.
Sure, let's go get them.
Well, they
didn't.
Every play was 12 yards down the field.
Yep.
And you can blame linebackers, pass rush, scheme, go ahead. Mm-hmm. It's all open game. But they didn't make any plays. Zero fumbles caused,
right.
Zero turnovers in the interception department, no blocked punt, no blocked field goal, yep. No nothing. Nothing. It was a 7-on-7 scrimmage in the second half.
Yeah.
That's what it was for me. Whoever had the ball last was going to win, because neither one of those defense, as you saw, both teams scored touchdowns. Well, scored touchdowns in the last 5 minutes of the game, and then you get a game-winning field goal, which indoors on turf is nothing.
Their only potential difference makers on defense were injured. Patrick Robinson wasn't there. Vontae Davis. Patrick Robinson went out.
Trent Cole wasn't hurt. Robert Mathis wasn't hurt.
You haven't solved those issues.
DeQuell Jackson wasn't hurt.
They had to take four offensive linemen in this draft because they didn't get that right in past years.
Mike Adams,
all pro. All four of those guys made the roster, by the way.
Mike Adams, whatever, didn't make any plays. No one
32.
Made any plays.
Yeah, I mean,
right, I get it. And there you go. Until if it has to be perfect, the Colts are in trouble defensively. Luckily, no pun intended, number 12 doesn't have to be perfect. He was close, and he's very good.
You got one exciting play out or two out of Hassan Ridgeway.
He blew up a play in the backfield. I did. He did.
We'd love to see that more regularly.
We've got
to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, a lot of football coming up this weekend. Before we get there, right after this show, Reds host Milwaukee.
Five in a row for the Kings of the Ohio.
Tomorrow night, we've got NFL Thursday night, New York Jets at Buffalo, 8 o'clock for the broadcast here.
Smell that? That's the AFC East.
Last year, that was the color game that I couldn't see either team because I'm red-green colorblind.
They're doing it again this year, just so you know.
That's great. I'll just watch college.
Oh, no. You'll listen to it on WGCL.
Well, I'll do that because I can't be colorblind on radio.
That's right.
Friday night, we've got high school football.
You don't look colorblind from here.
I'm full of color. Friday night, we've got high school football. North heads to Terre Haute North. Joe Smith and I will be out there in Terre Haute for that game. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 is the kickoff. Hopefully 46 is one of the few roads we can actually drive on without being delayed too much.
Should be great.
Saturday, we've got a pair of great college football games, at least on paper. 3 o'clock, Alabama is at Ole Miss. 7 o'clock, Ohio State is at Oklahoma. And then on Sunday, we start the day off at 3:30 with pregame for the Colts at Denver. And in the evening, Green Bay is at Minnesota. So we go to Denver in week two. Had the game against Denver last year. We all remember it because Andrew Luck finished the game, but it finished his season, unfortunately. Got beat up a little bit, and we're coming off a week one victory for the Denver Broncos, in which we're talking about how hard they started hitting people and hitting people high and getting fined for it. So that's great. You got Andrew Luck. Obviously, we love Andrew Luck. The Broncos are 1-0, beating the Panthers in the rematch. But we're going up against a defense that just absolutely wants to kill every quarterback they can get their hands on once again.
Yeah. You got to get to them, too.
We've been through that with them.
Luck's pretty tough. Cam Newton's pretty tough as well. And, he did take some shots. Thought a couple of them were throw the ball, lean down. Guy's already going into your chest. He follows through, and his helmet's kind of in the way. I mean, I didn't see a guy going up to get him. You see a guy.
That was one of them, the guy.
One of them there was. Yeah. But the other one, he threw the ball, and his head followed through down into the path where the guy was coming. So, well, that's a little bit different. But you know what? It those things happen in football. If you get a penalty, you get a penalty. And if the Broncos want to play dirty, they now are under the cosh from the league. Obviously, everybody at Carolina sent them all the film they could, and that's going to benefit Andrew Luck. If anything, they're going to get on that edge. But I don't think the referees are going to give him any kind of leeway after last week's performance.
Right.
Now, let's hope the game doesn't come down how the game is refereed. Let's hope the Colts start making plays on both sides of the ball. Because let's be fair, Denver's offense isn't Matthew Stafford. It's Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Simeon's a nice player, but the Colts didn't get to Matthew Stafford at all. So if you're going to let a young guy back there who doesn't get bothered, if he's no one's back there bothering him, that makes him a little bit more effective. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to be the change from the Colts defense. Matthew Stafford was 31 of 38, right?
Yeah, 39. Yeah.
Okay, he had two incompletions in the second half. Yeah. Two.
Did whatever he wanted.
Exactly. And if a guy can do whatever he wants, there's a reason Trevor Siemian won this job. How did the Colts make him uncomfortable? That's the first thing I'm going to look for. They've got to tackle better. They can't allow 5 yards to carry because what do you think the Broncos want to do? Run the ball so Siemian doesn't have to throw it 45 times.
Exactly.
It's not hard to figure out. NFL's not complicated. Why? Because you see the trend, you work the trend, and you make someone stop you. Until they stop you, you're going to get a steady diet of it. So what do the Colts need to do to win? How do they always win? Number one, they play well in Denver. Don't forget that.
Yeah, they've done
well. They play well in Denver. Mm-hmm. They need to score. They need to get out front, let Denver win the toss, defer, and go. Now, that defense Denver has, as you mentioned, is very, very good.
Yes.
But how do you get a good defense reeling? You make plays.
You don't let them come after you, pass rush.
You don't, I mean, that's what you don't hand the ball off three times or two times and have third and 11.
Get something going.
Please, get off to a better start. So they know that's coming. They might change their mind a little bit differently on that. Is it the end of the world? No, but 0-2 is not the hole you want to dig out of because when you look at the Colts' schedule, and we did this earlier in the year, Chargers, Jaguars, Bears. The good news is those are all at home your next three. You don't want to be 3-2 after five games digging out. You'd rather be 1-1 and hopefully win all three and get yourself off to a nice, tidy start in the division and in the conference and build off that loss from Detroit.
Yep. And looking at Denver, what they did against Carolina, let's remember, I mean, these are two stellar defenses all of last year. They're coming back with most of their players. Carolina's defense, very good. Carolina's defense gave up 29 carries for 148 yards, 5.1 yards a carry. That's really good rushing the ball against a really good defensive front. The Colts are not a really good defensive front. You want to know what's going to happen if you want to predict it based on that sort of thing.
Bad thing.
They're going to run the ball right down the Colts' throat all day long and make it easier on Trevor Siemian. So, what do you do as a Colts defense to take some of that away? You got to find a way to do something. You didn't do it very well against the Lions, and the Lions aren't that all
simple.
That good at running the ball.
You got to tackle better. You've got to. I think the lack of Matthew Stafford will help the Colts defense because they're not going to get torched down the field. Well, you can cheat a little bit more on the run.
Yeah.
Make that kid throw out of it so it'll be interesting. Yep. I think the Colts win the game. I think they're a good bounce-back team, and I believe in 12. 12 showed me everything. When they let him go late second quarter in the second, I'm fine. 12's fine.
I'm not with you on that. I know Trevor Siemian's a guy you can rattle more than Matthew Stafford, but you got to show me more on the defense before I start buying off on that. Hey, folks, music means we've got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday for In the Zone and In the Red Zone. So tune in then, and we will talk to you then. You've been in the zone.